Ladies and gentlemen, it's a pleasure right now to be joined live on the hotline. Patriots special teams coordinator Jeremy Springer joins Fitzy and Mego, filling in for Jones and Keefe on a Patriots Friday here on WEEI. Hi, Jeremy. How are you? And how was your Thanksgiving, buddy?
Hey, Fitz. Hey, Megan. I'm doing great. It was a great Thanksgiving. Ate a lot of food. You know, watched a lot of football. And it was good to watch other people stress and not myself. And I felt good to do that. How about you guys?
It was wonderful.
Yeah, Thanksgiving's always a great time, and the holiday season is upon us now. The crush towards Christmas and everything merry and bright has officially begun as well. And it's very funny that you say that you got a chance to kick back and relax for a day before obviously a big game on Sunday, and watch three football games yesterday, and one that now unfortunately has led to the dismissal of a head coach in the NFL. That should have actually had some special teams implications. We heard a story earlier this morning, Jeremy, that your head coach, Gerard Mayo, actually hopped on the phone with one of the assistants, Evan Rothstein, and talked about how the Bears handled the end of the game yesterday and how they would have handled that and how they would hope to prepare for situations like that. Are you briefed on a lot of those things? And do you guys go over those sort of like urgent and extreme situations, like what do we do when there's one timeout, no timeouts? Are we ready to go from 50, 55? Like, take us a little bit behind the scenes on how teams prepare for situations like that, which unfortunately Chicago kind of botched yesterday.
Yeah, that's unfortunate, man. I never like to see that stuff. But, you know, for us, Evan does a phenomenal job in getting us prepared as coaches. And we go through a lot of those situations in training camp. And then once you get into the season, it gets hard to practice every situation because there's so much that can happen in a football game. But every Saturday, us as coordinators and the head coach and Evan, we go through a lot of those situations that went on in the league the previous week. We actually talked through that. It's about an hour-long meeting. And we go through each of those situations. Like, what would we do in that situation if it came up as a staff, and we collaborate on that? And then on game day, you know, we're on the headsets. And so we're able to know, and Evan does a phenomenal job of, all right, the play before that, he's already letting us know, hey, if he gets sacked here, this is what we're doing. If we can complete, this is what we're doing. So I'm hearing this, and I can get my guys prepared. So, hey, this is a situation. I can talk to my specialist. I can talk to our guys on field goal maybe. Hey, we're not going to call timeout here, so while we're on the field, hey, we're going to run our Mayday operation here, so just be patient. And so there's a lot of collaboration leading up to that play so that whenever that play happens, we're all on the same page, we're all in unison, and no one's freaking out. No one's, you know, pressing the panic button, per se, and we have a good plan in place. But I think the meetings throughout the week, that meeting on Saturday is a very big meeting for us. And then we also have what we had today with our players is a situational meeting. And so our players are informed of, like, all right, let's go through the situation that happened last week in the NFL. And so now our players are informed. We'll usually work a couple of those situations in practice the day of, which is today, it just happened right now, and so that we're all on the same page. So I think there's a lot of collaboration throughout the week so that, again, those things happen and you're not caught, you know, making huge critical mistakes that lose you a football game because you're not prepared as a coaching staff.
How do you feel, Jeremy, that those conversations and the kind of conviction and the decisions that you guys as a coaching staff have in those situations has developed over this year? A lot of you guys, you know, developing it in these roles for the first time. How do you feel like it's kind of changed from where you were very early in the season?
Tenfold. I mean, it is what it is, right? You know, you got a first-year head coach. I'm a first-year coordinator in the NFL. You know, first-year guy. So you go through situations early in the season where, like, man, I could have done that better. And there's been situations that I came up early in the season where, man, I didn't really play that the way I should have. And you learn from them. And I think as the season progresses, you just build a kind of a gel with everybody else where you kind of know what to expect because the things have already happened. And it's our job as coaches to not make the same mistake twice. That's plain and simple. And when you make those critical mistakes as coaching staff and put your players in a disadvantage, those are what, you know, lose your games and get you fired, to be honest. And I think, you know, like I said, as it progresses, we'll continue to get better and better working together. And does that always equate to wins? Doesn't necessarily mean so, but at least situationally, we understand what to expect and we can be prepared for it.
Patriots special teams coordinator Jeremy Springer joining Fitzy and Mego here on a Patriots Friday on Boston Sports Original. WEEI. Jeremy, there was a, you know, I'll stop short of saying a whole to-do or whatnot made recently, but there was the conversation that was had about Marcus Jones texting Alex Van Pelt and communicating about, you know, wanting to maybe get a play on offense. And he's not only just a very important player on defense as a starting slot cornerback, but also integral to your special teams unit as well. And we've seen Brendan Schooler now jump from special teams to defense as well, playing a spy, playing a blitzer as well. What are those conversations like? Does DeMarcus Covington, you know, shoot you a text or give you a call or approach you on the sideline and say, hey, can I borrow Brendan for like five plays? I think he's going to be the way this team sets up. I think he's going to be great if we can use him situationally. Or how do you guys all coordinate kind of like moving the pieces that are the players around from unit to unit?
Yeah. And when you look at special teams, my goal as a coordinator is for those guys to one day graduate from playing just special teams and play in an offense and defense only role. So for me, it's a blessing to see someone like Schooler, you know, as the special teams ace for us to go play defense. Like, I want him to play defense. If there was one day, 2 years from now or a year from now, where he was a full-time starting safety, I would be happy, because that's, at the end of the day, that's going to prolong his career. That's going to get him paid more in the future. And that's what I want for the guys. Like, at the end of the day, guys, you know, they want to play offensive defense. That's, they grew up playing quarterback, they grew up playing receiver, DB, and I want them to do that. And so for us, it's not even a conversation. It's easy. Like, me and DC, like, hey, we got a package for school. I'm like, hell yeah, let's go. And in school all week, I'm talking to him, like, how do you feel about your package on defense? Or how do you feel about this package, Marcus? And he's like, I'm excited. I'm like, I'm more excited for them. Because, again, to me, special teams is the third phase of the game. We help our offense and defense out. And if those guys can graduate one day, to me, I'm doing my job. I'm developing those guys and showing them that they can play both those, either offense or defense, and that's a credit to us and a credit to that player individually.
Along those same lines, Jeremy, Javon Baker is somebody who has gotten some play on special teams. He obviously has so much dynamic talent. Like, he jumps off the screen when he's out there. What would you like to see from him in terms of his growth by the end of the season, where not just you, but the offensive coaches can also look at him and say, okay, we know where this guy's going to fit in on the team next season going forward?
Yeah, Meg, I love Baker. I think he's unbelievable talented. You can see why he went to Bama early in his career. He's got all the tools. I think for me, as we continue to move forward, we continue to develop him in practice, is us getting him in those situations where he's got to make those decisions. And I just look at returner, for instance, because he was a kickoff returner for a couple of games. Like, especially out here in the Northeast, and again, Meg, I'm from Texas. I was in California before this. I was in Arizona. So dealing with the wind, the weather, the cold, that football does a lot of funny things when it goes in the air, especially on kickoffs. And for a guy also like Baker, who hasn't returned kicks in a number of years, even in his career, it's getting him those reps in practice, getting him to feel comfortable when the ball's on the ground, when the ball is coming short, or it's up in the air and it's starting to curve late. Those are really hard decisions. And for me, I want to make sure that he's prepared so that if he goes out there and makes a mistake and I put him out there too early where he's not ready, well, then people are like, all right, Baker this, Baker that on Twitter, or fans are not happy with him. It's like, well, that's a bad coaching mistake on my end to put a guy that's maybe not ready for those type of situations. And I just got to continue to develop him in those situations. I think we're doing that right now. And when the time is right, he'll be right. And I see Baker as being a vital tool for us, you know, whether it's, you know, the rest of this year or even moving on to the future. And as he continues to develop, he's going to be a very good player for us on offense too. And I'm excited about him.
See, I love the way that you're talking like this, Jeremy, that, you know, special teams, you are an island and an entity in and of yourself, but also that you can sort of like help, you know, groom and develop and work on some of the finer points for all of these guys so that they can contribute in other parts of the team as well. Like, that to me is what everything that the New England Patriots need to be about as you guys continue to try to turn the ship around and begin this rebuild that could take a while as well. And that's an all hands on deck approach that I think a lot of fans that are listening right now are probably very refreshed and reassured to hear. But before we get to longer rebuilds in multiple years and looking too far down the line, you guys have a big game Sunday. It's your last before the bye. Five games remaining on the season. I'm sure you guys are looking for a lot of positive growth. So let's get you out on this. What kind of challenges do the Indianapolis Colts present for you special teams wise? There are definitely some real playmakers on that team. They've had some struggles themselves. What are you keyed in on and focused on heading into Sunday?
Man, I'll tell you one thing about the Colts. Brian Mason, the special teams coordinator, and that staff has done a phenomenal job retaining a bunch of players they had last year. A lot of their core guys on special teams, I'm going to talk special teams because that's my job, that's my phase. They are fast. They are physical. They play hard. They make plays. I mean, this unit that we're about to play is one of the better ones, if not the best one we've played all season long. So for my guys, what I'm really looking for is that we 100% mentally and physically, we're prepared to play this game to execute a high level. We protect our specialists. We got to protect Bryce. We protect Sly. When we get opportunities to punt the ball, kick the ball, we got to make sure we give them room to punt it, room to kick field goals so we get points on the board, flip the field. And at the end of the day, win your role, like win your one-on-one matchup. If I got, 41 or 50 certain guys on this team, we got to win because they do a phenomenal job. They put guys in the right position, and it's a good – it's going to be a huge test for us on special teams because I feel like if we get – do some right things and execute a high level, we're going to give our offense and defense a chance to win the game. And that's our job on special teams, to give our offense and defense a chance to win the game. And we can't dig ourselves a hole by, getting a block punt or a turnover on special teams or a block field goal. Those things, they kill you as a team. They're critical, and those are things that we can control. And we got to execute a high level, man. It's going to be a challenge. It's going to be a little bit windy. It's going to be kind of cold. Now we're getting to those games now where now the ball's not going to fly as much. So our execution from top down, whether that you're starting defensive linebacker and you're playing three phases or you're playing all four phases like schooler, your job is to win your role. So I'm looking forward to that on Sunday.
One more for me, Jeremy. Noticed that last week Jack Westover dressed for the game. Do you see any role for him potentially on special teams at some point in the season?
Yeah, I mean, he was a damn near four-core guy for us this past weekend, and that's kind of how the season rolls, right? He's on practice squad. He's a guy that's developing through the season, and when you have numbers down or injuries, and he's a guy that can contribute on special teams, that's what you want to see, a guy develop into a role that can play on special teams from the practice squad, and then eventually he goes special teams, and then one day he's a tight end playing full-time on offense. And so a guy like that, if he's up, he's going to have a critical role on special teams, and I expect him to execute his job and get one game better.
Absolute pleasure speaking with you today, Jeremy. I know you're from Texas and you used to you've coached out west, A&M, Arizona, obviously the Rams. This will probably be your first full or mostly full New England winter. Get ready. I'm going to tell you right now, like the maritime winds and New England weather around here, it bites different, my man.
Oh man. I'll tell you what, I already reached that practice right now. It was windy outside. I was just, and it's not, it's 30 degrees or whatever it may be, but man, my hands are frozen. I can barely talk. I'm just trying to get used to it day by day. I'm taking one day at a time. When I tell our players, one play at a time, I'm taking one day at a time. And I get ahead of myself.
Can you believe we choose to live here? It's unbelievable.
We pay so much to live here.
We pay so much to live here and freeze and be miserable on the roads. Oh, man, we could go on.
I'd say up from California, it's not much difference in terms of how much it costs out here. It's about the same as it was in L.A.
It's crazy.
It's the same something. It's crazy, but it's about the same.
Yeah, I know, but they got this crazy thing out there called the sun. It's weird how
the sunset too. Don't forget about that. Sunsets are nice.
That's the best. Patriots special teams coordinator joining Fitzy and Mego on a Patriots Friday. Jeremy, good luck. It was a pleasure speaking with you. Happy holidays, and all the best going forward.
You guys as well. Have a great one, okay?
Thanks, Jeremy.
Thank you.